In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa, here on 1701 AM, Voice of Charity Radio Network, and also live on the Facebook Live here on the Catholic Toolbox and all other platforms. If you enjoy listening to the Catholic Toolbox, why not email us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to send us a request for a speaking opportunity or consultation. And a great announcement here this week has been that we've launched our website at www.thecatholictoolboxshow.com. That is www.thecatholictoolboxshow.com. If you're looking for any advice on discerning marriage, especially during this week where we have an announcement, me and Akita, that we are happily engaged. Welcome, Akita.
Another announcement.
I think so many much. People knew you as the creative director and with the regular co-hosts as well and guests here on the Catholic Toolbox, but
they've seen me around.
Exactly now, and they know you as my fiance.
For TCT. We're going to get married.
Exactly. Yay. No, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And I think this week we thank all our fans, our supporters, especially on the radio, Parousia Media, everybody else, for their support, their prayers, and their encouragement. We've received close to 1,000 messages, texts, WhatsApps.
So much love.
Texts, yeah. WhatsApps. every single platform, yeah.
It hasn't stopped.
It keeps coming through. Just apologize if we can't get back to you straight. If we can't get back to you straight away, please, we'll get through to our messages over this coming week, you know, slowly as we go through the week. But thank you to everybody.
We just wanted to do this episode to say thank you, especially to all of you. And that's the main thing. If we're not getting to you then, this is for you guys. So thank you.
Exactly. And you notice that the Catholic Toolbox is here on Monday. It's not Tuesday yet. The reason being is because this is an exclusive episode, and that's why we've moved it to Monday. And tomorrow night it will be live, which will be on the Voice of Charity radio. So it will be live tomorrow night at 8 p.m. But here on Monday, which is pretty unusual for us. But yeah, we're talking about aspiring for Catholic marriage. Now, a big disclaimer here tonight is that, you know, we don't choose to be an example of marriage. We're aspiring for marriage. And nobody should recommend, I believe, at least, and this is in keeping with the art of practical Catholicism, to recommend on a practical level if you haven't been there or experienced it. There's something different about experiencing marriage and being married. Giving that advice and mentorship to people aspiring and those who aren't married giving advice. So obviously we're not giving advice from the perspective of people who are married, but we're giving advice purely as children who've experienced marriage in our individual families and what we've observed and what other people have told us. And possibly there may be people who have great insight, and that's why I encourage you tonight only email your questions to thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. That is thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments or messages, send them through to us or through the Facebook Live, and we'll get back to them shortly after the episode. But Akita, how do you feel this coming weekend with the engagement? Let's go into a little bit about our story this weekend.
Tell everyone about the story. Yeah, I didn't think of anything of it. George did have an alibi, which I believed, because That's me. I believe you because I love you. So I make sure that everything you tell me, I believe. within reason. but I did have a hunch that there was going to be a diamond involved. so I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but you do drop little hints. And I know that I can read you quite well after a while. We've been together for a few years now, so I have learned.
I try to hide it.
but I just didn't want to out you just in case. Just in case I was wrong, or a variety of reasons. I didn't want to embarrass you or anything like that.
Yep.
but there were a few different hints that you kind of dropped that I was kind of questioning as well. You always tell people to question the system, and
you always question everything.
So I kind of just had a bit of a hunch, but I was maybe about 60% sure, not 100%. So, we were driving to one of our favorite spots in Sydney, which is Balmain, our old friend Balmain. And
which is near the Balmain Wharf.
Balmain Wharf, East Balmain Wharf. And it's just the most magnificent view of Sydney, Sydney Harbour Bridge, Barangaroo. it's absolutely glorious. Sunset was going down. It was hitting the water in the perfect light. And I was just like, wow, it's really pretty today.
We were lucky. We actually got the right weather. The rear.
Exactly. In winter. I'm lucky it wasn't raining. So I remember last week it rained, and you were very thankful that it rained then.
It got it out of the system. To sort of.
Exactly, but we love the rain nevertheless, so that's okay. You were very adamant that we had to go for a walk, We just had to go on a walk. You've never wanted to go on a walk so badly before. So, and I was like, okay, we're going to go for a walk.
I like walking. What's wrong with walking?
Hmm?
I don't mind walking, but maybe not all the time. No, I don't know. Maybe not on Saturdays.
You were very persistent that day. you're never that persistent.
Maybe angry at the traffic. Taking the M8.
At all the traffic. The taking fact the that M8, yeah. My GPS got you lost. And sorry. and then we get to the location, and obviously ask me, and I say yes, and then I'm like, so are you? And you actually, what happened is you popped open the ring box, and then I was like, why are you still in my head? I was like, why is he still standing? I'm like, so, and then I said out loud, so are you gonna kneel? then you did, and then you formally asked me, and then I said yes. And then the ferry drove through, and people behind us were clapping, and I was like, "Oh, those randoms are so nice! Like they're just so lovely."
We got the ferry.
And then the ferry drove past. Behind us. Yeah, they heard the clapping behind us, and then it started to honk. Ferry just gave a big. And then the people on board also were.
How good was
like,
the timing?
Oh my God.
The timing was great.
God's perfect. we were late for a reason.
I think so. I think when I was sort of driving, we were a little bit 5 minutes off the grid. I think I planned everything to the minute to make sure that sun and everything. But we're five-ish minutes late, and I knew. I think our Lord was telling me there that I think it's a really good reason. I have a plan for why you need to be late, and it came perfectly. The ferry, we got there 5 minutes early. The ferry would have left, and
you had a plan.
Exactly,
had a better plan.
And the sun was. We got a bit more of the sunset, which was nice. The experience was great. So thank you to everybody. Thank you for your kind comments on Facebook, the Catholic Toolbox page, our personal pages, the Rite of Manhood. Thank you very much.
So the thing that made it really, really special, is the fact that a lot of our close family and friends were there to witness the moment.
So they weren't randoms clapping.
They weren't randoms after all. They were they were our family and friends, and it was very sweet. That memory is going to stay in my mind forever, and I love
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah. So, excellent. Yeah. And thank you everybody for definitely for all your support, your prayers, especially because without prayer, without growing closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, there's no point in sacrament altogether. I mean, that's the whole reason is to to unite man and woman in order to journey to heaven together. And it's a very important thing. And that's just a bit of our story in this whole weekend. We had this dinner. We had on Sunday at your house the betrothal ceremony. So many of you know I'm of Maronite background. And I've grown up as a traditional, for the most part of my, after my reconversion, as a traditional Latin Mass Catholic. I still respected my Maronite tradition, heritage, by having the betrothal ceremony at your house yesterday. And by being betrothed in the Maronite blessing, yeah, it's a Maronite blessing for engaged couples, which was amazing.
That was so special as well. A jam packed weekend, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. No, and thank you very much for your prayers. And look, let's now go into the agenda for tonight, which is, we thought this would be a beautiful topic. I mean, we've experienced it firsthand, that aspiration now, that official aspiration. Prepare for marriage. We thought we'd reflect on that, experience that, because there's nothing about keeping with the art of practical Catholicism than speaking about your experiences from your experience. Now we're on the journey to discern marriage. Perhaps maybe let's reflect a little bit. Let's open the toolbox. Reflect from teaching of the Church and the wisdom of the saints about marriage a little bit, and what the whole point of marriage is. I mean, in our secular world today, I listen to people at work and everywhere. Somebody actually told me at work, oh, well, George, you're young, you know, you might get married several times over your life. And, you know, to me, I was like, no, I don't get married several times. But it just sort of reflects, and some negative connotations about marriage all the time, you know. I've been getting left, right, and center, you know, bad feedback about marriage, kids, no sleep with children, you know, can't get time to myself. It's always negative feedback. But there's no, of course, definitely it's a challenge. I think the attitude that's been reflective in the secular sphere has been very negative towards marriage, and it's sort of self-centered in a sense. So in my personal experience in trying to aspire for marriage, we're not speaking as a married couple, we're not giving advice, is that, you know, people who actually I see in my personal experience, good Catholic couples in within the prelature of Opus Dei, within outside other good practicing Catholics, living at least externally and explain to me from their experience that they have they're trying to aspire for a good attitude towards marriage. As we see in the secular world, other people have bad attitudes towards marriage. They see it as sort of a commitment where, you know, you lose your freedoms, can't go out with the boys every night, and you're tied down to one person, which is such a negative connotation. It's really is against what we are as human beings, which is to give ourselves the other totally, faithfully, and fruitfully. So let's reflect a little bit on marriage and what marriage, the purpose is and the direction for it, opening the toolbox.
Sure, that sounds like a good idea. Well, definitely the first tip is, I know this goes against everything that you just said, but in a way this is required, I think, because the first tip is you need to focus on growing yourself spiritually, physically, mentally, all of that before you are able to give that others. So you need to love yourself before you learn to love others as well, before you can give yourself to others. So, you know, does that kind of make sense? It's a little bit confusing.
No, it completely makes sense, because, you know, in preparing, living your singleness wholeheartedly, where using your gifts, your talents, and your energy. I mean, there's no such thing as a vocation for yourself, whether you're single, you're married, you're religious. There's no such thing. We are not meant to be living for ourselves. So even though you're single and you have that extra time on your hands, that energy, no commitment, no children, no responsibility, as they say, no responsibility, that is meant to be devoted to essentially the service of God and preparing yourself and learning about yourself, growing in your relationship with God. Those years, you know, between early high school to leaving high school, studying, working prior to marriage, should be focused on learning who you are, what your vocation is, discerning your vocation. So really, it's if you're making the gift of yourself to somebody else, then you have to have something to give. You can't give what you don't have. Very simple.
You've got it.
You ain't got what you don't have.
Yeah. So this is why we work well together, because You get it, and you can
We
explain
try
this
to,
on
yeah, we try to. Yeah, we're not the example for anybody, but we're aspiring. We're aspirants.
Yeah, and we're working towards it.
Yeah.
So we take it day by day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, before I can look after somebody else, I want to make sure that I'm okay, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with me first. So that's kind of just what it's mainly about. But it doesn't mean that you love selfishly. It doesn't mean that you love, you know, just yourself and that's it. And
well, you have to love yourself, obviously.
But that's not where it ends, you know. So you got to grow from that as well.
I think it's interesting, yeah. But loving yourself, essentially, who are you? What are you loving? If you are made in the image and likeness of God, you're called to know, love, and serve Him, and especially serve Him in this world, in order to seek the salvation of your soul. Because at the end of the day, what do we do this for? Marriage, priesthood, religious life, single life. It's all
a vocation.
Yeah, exactly. And what's the point of a vocation? Seek the salvation of your soul. I mean, we're here in the church. We're here for business. We're not here for to muck around, to waste time. We're here to achieve the salvation of our soul. If our Lord says it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get to heaven. Or just that example there, that parable, really sets up the challenge of salvation. Seeking the salvation of our soul, getting to heaven. Will be judged. It is appointed for every man to die and then the judgment. Then what are the means by which we're going to live the Catholic faith in order to achieve the salvation of our soul, in order to get to heaven? Marriage, priesthood, religious life, single life, consecrated life, whatever state of life you choose, what God has called you to. It's not really you choosing anything, but you choose it in response to God's call. It needs to be your aid of living the faith and getting to heaven. That's the focus. It's not about, you know, oh, marriage would be beautiful, kids would be great, kids bring me joy. I listen in the secular world, you know, some people aren't from the Catholic faith, just some of their mindsets. And what's interesting to me is that people say, oh, kids bring joy. You know, they're great joy, great to have around. Really, it didn't really stick with me, because when I thought about that, I really reflected and thought, kids aren't just a joy, you know. Or watch a comedy, that's a joy. They're not an entertainment. They're a gift in order to bring children into the world, in order to serve God, make more saints. That's really the goal, to get to heaven. We're not made for this world. And in order to journey in this one, get to our homeland, sometimes we need to partner up with people.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need help. Sometimes your state of life is going to be reflective of how you're going to grow spiritually. It is reflective 100%. And how you're going to grow spiritually. And that's why marriage is very important. Understand that marriage is the call for man and woman to unite, to be open to life. Again, that's a very important thing. Openness to life, culture of death that we live in. To seek the salvation of our souls. That's the end goal, the be all and end all. That's the mission of the church. We're not here as a non-profit organization. We're not here to make a bureaucracy. We're not here to become political. We're here to simply say the church exists for the salvation of souls. Why do I stress this point? Because your vocation is your state of life, living within the life of the church in order to get to heaven. Sometimes we don't repeat it enough, and that's why I like to always emphasize it. This is the goal of the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism, to really bring people to strategize practically about how we can take action today, tomorrow, next week. They may not be big, practical results. They may be small, simple, but they make a heap load of a difference in your spiritual life.
Yeah.
Let's now talk about marriage, given by the example of great people living their vocation today. You know, the best way to actually understand this is, I think I'm jumping into a practical tool, but we'll just talk about it vaguely before we get into the three practical tools, is that if you want to learn the tricks of the trade, you learn it from a master. And I was saying, not in the sense that, you know, people who are living good married lives are masters. Nobody's perfect, but really the people who are doing it well face the challenges and come out of it and seen the good and the bad and have come out successfully, net successfully, are people to advise us on how to live our vocation, you know. It's funny, I was receiving advice from somebody, not in an arrogant way, but somebody who's been divorced think three times, giving me advice that, you know, you shouldn't get married, or you should wait till your late 30s. But really, not in an arrogant way, I said to them, well, you know, I have different belief systems from what you believe marriage is. And that, as a consequence of that, I have a different outcome. And it was very interesting. I love listening to people with different views and really seeing truth of the gospel, how well it stands against error. Exactly. So what examples in your life, Akita, like leading up to our proposal, who have been great examples for you as married couples you've learnt from, have shaped you to now aspire together for marriage?
Obviously, you know, nobody's perfect, but our parents, both of our parents, have been wonderful examples in that sense. You know, some of my friends who have been married for a while, some of our friends who have married and they've got plenty of children, you know. So, and even when we go to church, you know, you do see those families who have these wonderful little, like, you see these, you know, people who are not, like, super, super old. They look really young, and they've got tons of kids, and it's, like, inspiring.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, you don't encounter them for too long, but you do kind of, you're in the same kind of space for, you know, once a week kind of thing. So you do get to see what kind of people are around you, and the ones who obviously send their kids to go and serve in the church, or go sing in the choir and things like that. So it's wonderful to see that people in our world are still like that. And it's kind of a hope that we have to hold on to, that, you know, we don't have to push ourselves to live in a secular mindset just because it's popular. We're going to...
So what you're saying is be countercultural. It's okay to be countercultural.
We're going to be doing the way God wants it to be done.
Exactly, yeah. You know, it's actually interesting, when being countercultural, when you bring up your culture, oh, well, I don't do this in my culture. People are intrigued by certain things, like I don't cohabitate. I bring that up. And people react to, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, well, yeah, it's not. We don't live together before marriage. Everything, yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, but the main reason is probably because we're Catholics.
Exactly, yeah, and we don't really live together because we have a purpose and we understand marriage to be a certain way. But let's now open the three practical tools about how we can actually take action for those who are discerning marriage, specifically, and those who are aspiring for marriage and are engaged, like ourselves. Three practical tools we don't gain from our own experience, as a disclaimer, but we gain it through the collective information that other couples who are living marriage have given us and explained to us, and we've seen the example that they've given to us and our own research, and obviously from the teaching of the church, and what's now in discerning marriage, what's helping us to grow closer and prepare for marriage. But before we go into the three practical tools, I just want to take a quick break for our promo. Firstly, I'd like to announce, if you're looking for a photographer for your wedding, great occasion, big day specifically, especially we're speaking about marriage, why not check out Captured Frames? Captured Frames is a tremendous Catholic company which takes tremendous photos. I recommend Captured Frames. So go to www.capturedframes.com or email Siren. You can email Siren at Siren, C-Y-R-O-N, at capturedframes.com.au. So Captured Frames, highly recommend, and definitely check them out. Have them at your next event. Now, we're going into the three practical tools to take action with our faith. Pardon us, Akita.
Pick. So the first one, we already kind of briefly touched on this, but you need to kind of make sure that your life is balanced. So what do I mean by that? In that sense that you yourself, you know, you're looking after yourself spiritually, mentally, physically, in all of those aspects, so that you can make sure that you're the best person, so that when, you know, you can give the best version of yourself to your spouse, but more importantly to God. Okay? So that's the main thing. You need to ensure that your life is balanced so that you can live a good life, obviously, but also just make sure that, you know, you're okay. And it's as simple as that. It's like eating a balanced, it's like eating a very balanced meal. Everything tastes good on the plate. Nothing outshadows the other. Like, what do I mean about in that sense? The fact that just because I look after myself spiritually doesn't mean I forget that I do need to do exercises, or that I need to make sure that we've got savings, when we're getting married.
Yep.
So that's some of the practical sense that we were thinking of before we even got engaged,
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know.
And it's very important, I think, to that self-care, to really work on yourself, grow as a person, prepare yourself. And people say, "Oh, well, there's never a perfect time to get married." Well, I completely disagree with that. There are better times to get married. There's no perfect time to get married. There's no perfect time to have children, but there is a better and there is a wiser. So it's not necessarily just, well, marriage is great, let's just run into marriage. I mean, over the years, I mean, you get pushed by people, oh, pop the question, when's the big day, get married, you know, but so you need to think for yourself. Often people tell you quicker is better, but it necessarily isn't in everybody's case. Some people it is, some people it isn't. Every case is different. You know, it's not wise to just look at people. Somebody else's situation, then judge for yourself. I mean, your life is custom made by our God, and you have a custom story, and you need to adapt to your own situation. It's good to sort of look at other people, good examples, extrapolate some good aspects that you may want to incorporate into your life, but quicker is not better, and later sometimes is not better, could be better. Delaying sometimes, waiting for the right time is good. Finances are important. If we don't get the finances together, it can cause a big headache. And maybe people just think, oh, well, God will provide. But again, we need to be realistic. God will provide. But again, you do need, there is a calculated measure of time where you should discern, okay, maybe when I get my permanency, maybe when I get my full-time job, maybe when I been there a certain time or I've saved up a certain amount, it's a good time, you know, so I can make the marriage more harmonious financially, because obviously men are called to lead, protect, provide, and especially women can provide as well. But think about it, sometimes different in every situation. We can't advise, and nobody can advise in every person's circumstance. It's up to the person to think for themselves. That's where that self-care and working on yourself and especially your judgment skills works well. So that's just financial, but there's also emotional. Are my emotions, am I emotionally stable, you know, and do I act on my emotions? Do I have some things, maybe some mental health? If you're experiencing any mental health, you can call Lifeline. Contact them, that's definitely, and get the relevant professional advice and the professional treatment. You know, let's say if someone is going through something, what's another aspect we can look at in preparing yourself for marriage? Let's say, personally, you can look at, there's so much to look at, there's different aspects, and especially personally, you know, what are my interests? Who am I? What do I like on a personal level? Where do I see myself? You got to look at yourself. You're going to make a gift to yourself to somebody else and see if you work well together. Discern a vocation. You need to work on yourself prior. There are prerequisites to obviously starting a relationship and even courting, and then progressing to engagement and then preparing for marriage. But marriage is the end goal. So we need to date as if we're preparing for marriage. We need to live our single life as if we're preparing for marriage. Whatever your vocation is, even though you haven't started that discernment process, or you haven't started that formal process of preparing for that vocation, you need to be living it. Once you realize that vocation is yours and God has called you to it, you need to live as if you're already there. So I think that's practical tool number one, pretty heavy one. Let's go to number two, Akita.
Number two, so look at all the good examples around you. You were saying before that you've been getting a lot of advice from people of a secular nature, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't align with your values.
Exactly. I mean, you
So
always have to
really,
think for yourself. Like, sure, marriages that they complain about, oh, I'm not getting enough sleep at night, can't go out, no freedoms. But again, you're not called to those things. Yeah, it's really funny. It's important that you bring that up. Yeah.
And you got to look for your own mentor as well as a couple. And so, we do know couples who have done, have reached the goals that are very similar to ours. And in a way, that's kind of, that's the people who you would kind of ask instead of just asking that random at Woolworth or at Coles, for their opinion. So
Exactly.
it's
So
it
you're
matters who
saying,
you listen to, and
exactly.
who's you actually digest. So there's a difference in hearing an opinion and then truly listening to it. And you've got to be picky with which ones you do listen to.
Exactly. And I think, and that's very important because sometimes as Catholic faithful, and we point out ourselves and a lot of other friends, sometimes people that speak to us about it, that we sometimes look at other people's situations and then we think, oh, well, this is my situation. I've got to do this. I've got to do something similar. But if you want to prepare for marriage, it's probably best, we mean on a practical level, you need spiritual direction. It's probably not best just to always only speak to someone who's not married. It's best also seek some mentorship from someone who is married, not just hasn't seen all the marriage, but has some experience. There's someone with, let's say, four or five kids, living a good Catholic, aspiring Catholic. Nobody's a good Catholic. We're all aspiring saints. Again, everything we do is aspiration because, until we get to heaven, until we see the beatific vision, we're not good Catholics. We try to be in the colloquial sense, oh, we're good Catholics, we're practicing Catholics, but really, nobody's. But again, there's no perfect person, there's no perfect time, but there's a better person to ask. There's better time to propose. There's a better everything than not perfect. So I think it's best, let's say, for example, you look at a family who's, has five kids, open to life, go to good Catholic schools,
Or their home.
practice, or homeschool. I mean, homeschooled, yeah. I mean, that's another topic for another time. I think we should do a toolbox talk about homeschool versus pared versus anything else. But
You already have another episode on Catholic education with Robert
yeah,
Haddad.
make Catholic education Catholic again with Robert Haddad. Check that out. You can go to our website, www.thecatholictoolboxshow.com, and you can access any of our archive or go to the podcast on any podcast platform or here on the Facebook. You can also access visually and on YouTube. But it's important. So find a good Catholic family. It could be your family especially, but sometimes it's good to get independent advice. Someone who's, that way, not your direct family, because sometimes your family gives you advice that suits them a little bit. There's always that emotional attachment. It's good to detach and seek a mentor who's very, very sort of detached from your family. Great example that you can aspire to be like, and learn from them. And again, always be on guard. They may give whoever can give you. We can give you advice, but we want you to think for yourself. Always question everything. It could be good advice, and then you say, oh, well, this little element needs changing, doesn't adapt to my situation. Advice should always have a filter in front of it, and you filter through. That should be you. You filter through what, and honestly, what advice you need, and if most of it makes through the filter, and some elements, oh, well, this part of the advice is not applicable to me, then you make with that advice that anyone gives you or direction that anyone gives you. So I think it's pretty strong advice from us. And again, it doesn't come from, we don't paint ourselves as a perfect model of anything, but we are basically aspiring. Let's go into the third practical tool before we wrap up.
So this one, I think it's quite important is that you need to keep learning about each other because as you grow, things change, your environment changes, you have children, things happen. But you got to be open to it, and you also have to ensure that you're learning about yourself and your partner, in that sense. So you got to make sure that, it's not like Seinfeld where it's funny because the characters never learn from their mistakes. You have to kind of have to be the opposite of that. You have to learn from your own
You have to be
experiences
the
as well.
opposite of everything. Chucking a bit of George Costanza here, no, but it's very important. It is very important what you're saying. It's a vital point.
So, I hope that does make sense, but you got to keep an open mind within your relationship as well. And if things need tweaking, then make sure that you communicate about it because that's also very important. Open communication is key to
Yep,
everything. So
communication is very important. I mean, sometimes it's hard to break into communication, and we've found sometimes men and women think differently. They definitely think, ooh. And I think the greatest humility is breaking into the communication. I mean, people say communication is key. All right, we understand that, but the problem why people don't communicate is because one party or the other doesn't break into the communication. It's hard to break in. People talk about, oh, communication is key. But what the hardest point is, from our experience and from what other people have told us, is sometimes, let's say, at least in our experience, in a relationship, not yet married, breaking into the communication, initiating that communication, that's the hard part. I think sometimes we need to just reflect, break our pride in that minute, that moment, and then say, hey, look, let's talk about this. Let's chat about it. How are you feeling? And then it starts the conversation, then the fireworks happens. Exactly. I think that's some powerful stuff. We discussed everything, and the big challenge now is actually taking action, because that's what we're about at the Catholic Toolbox, speaking about it, but then not soaking it like a sponge, you know, all the information, but really equipping you enough with practical tools to go then live it tomorrow, aspire to whatever vocation you are. Be sure to check out Captured Frames. That is www.capturedframes.com. Email siren@capturedframes.com.au. Be sure to check them out. They are an amazing Catholic photography company. Absolutely tremendous work. I highly recommend you check them out at capturedframes.com. Be sure to check out this episode on the podcast platform. We thank everybody for tuning in live. All their prayers, all their support over this past weekend and this week. We aspire to get back to your messages. God bless you all. Do you have any words, Akita, before we close out?
Thank you for everyone for your support, and please keep us in your prayers as we prepare for our marriage.
Exactly. So, bless. Thank you for tuning in to the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh. Till next week, God bless, stay safe, and take action. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic Toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.